This podcast exists for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please contact your financial advisor.
Welcome back to Man vs. Market, a show where we take a look at everything macroeconomic and stock market related and see if we can create a strategy that allows us to beat the market. Finally, after 4 long weeks, I am finally back in the home studio, and I am especially glad that I am back in the studio for this week, as things are getting trickier and trickier to analyze. It seems like every single week, we see crazier and crazier price action in the market. And every week, there seems like there is more and more to unpack. This week was no different, as we saw the bulls make a really strong push and is really making everyone reconsider their short to midterm outlooks. Let's start off by taking a look at the charts. This week was a shortened week due to Juneteenth, so this is the first time the markets had ever been closed for this holiday. Now, given that the holiday was on Sunday, we saw the markets closed the next day on Monday. Despite this four-day week, we still saw the S&P 500 finish up 6.7% to a stunningly critical level. We closed at about 390 on the SPY. First, this is just above that 50% retracement level from the recent highs on June 2nd, meaning that this big move down we saw due to the high CPI and the Fed's accelerating tightening has been already halfway retraced. We really did see a lot of price action this week that looked like something out of a bull market and not a bear market. Starting on Tuesday, we had a very solid 1.7% gap up, followed by pretty consistent buying the rest of the day. Wednesday, we saw a pretty considerable gap down, followed by a complete retracement back to the upside in the first 45 minutes. The only selling pressure we saw at all during the entire week happened near the end of the day Wednesday and the beginning of the day Thursday. The rest of Thursday, we saw very strong price action to the upside, and on Friday, we saw a strong gap up followed by basically continued buying the rest of the day. This is in great contrast to what we have been seeing for the last several weeks, where every move to the upside was brought back down by the bears. This week, we saw basically every dip immediately bought back up by the bulls. However, I must make this clear, we are still in a bear market. Now, technically, we are back out of that bear market territory with the SPY down only about 18.6% from the highs now. But this is why I hate these hard indicators. For example, 20% down equals a bear market, because we are still in a bear market. I don't want people trading or reacting to moves going forwards with this idea that the bear market is over. It isn't. Just because we are technically out of that 20% threshold, the benefit of the doubt still needs to go to the bears. This move was very strong up, absolutely. However, it is much more likely that this is a bull trap rather than a complete reversal. Now, last week, I talked about how we were oversold in virtually every oscillator and how we were due for a sharp rebound. Well, we were right. The strong bullish divergence did in fact play out exactly as we predicted the last episode. However, we did get the magnitude wrong. My guess was that we would have seen 385 within 2 weeks. We saw it in 4 days. Now, why 385? Well, that was the first Fibonacci level from the highs drawn on March 29th, and I thought this would be the first test of resistance. However, I think I needed to keep my outlook longer term. I needed to look further out. In fact, we closed at a significant spot for 3 reasons. First, like we spoke about previously, it retraced basically exactly 50% of the last large move. Second, if we take a look back at the all-time highs and draw a Fibonacci retracement to the lows last week, we closed right above that first level. We retraced 23.6% of this total move down in 2022. Last, we perfectly filled the gap set between June 13th and June 14th. Next week will be huge in determining whether this is support or resistance. Quick lesson on gaps. A gap is when the price action is trading at a considerably different level than it closed the day before. For example, we opened much lower on June 14th than we closed on June 13th. This creates something called a gap, basically meaning it is a gap in price action that never existed. Price essentially skipped over that level. Typically, prices tend to gravitate back towards these gaps while they are still open. However, when they are closed, meaning that the price action eventually comes back and fills that gap, this new level tends to act as a critical level, meaning either support or resistance. The reason that next week's price action will be so huge is that whichever direction we trend, we will likely create a support or resistance in that same direction. This is what I mean by that. If we see a strong push downwards next week, this gap that we filled will likely act as a strong resistance going forwards. And on the opposite side, if we see another push early next week, this level that we filled will act as a strong support. If we take a look at the daily chart, we really see no abnormal price action. However, if we take a look at the 65-minute chart, we see a new hidden bearish divergence. If we take a look at the highs set on June 8th, they are higher in the price, but lower in the oscillator. This is a little bit more obvious on the RSI. However, I will say, I do remain bullish in the short term, as the bulls really took over short-term sentiment with this move on Friday. However, I will say, I am still midterm to long-term bearish, and I fully expect this divergence to play out over the coming weeks. The last thing I will say is if we are to keep going up, I think we need to give the oscillators a little bit of breathing room. I do think we are going to see at least 400 on this move before we start heading back down. It is a huge psychological level and a key Fibonacci level. But if we are going to see this move, I think we are going to see a little pullback to maybe 385 in the micro term before going back up again. Now, before we head over and recap the portfolio so far, we need to cover some of the economic news and developments over the last week. Surprisingly, despite the intense volatility in the broader market, there hasn't been that many notable events that have taken place economically. First, we have to touch on commodity prices. Metals, in particular, have greatly struggled despite the ever-increasing inflation fears. My verdict, however, remains the same as it did a few weeks ago. I'm still very bullish on gold and silver in particular over the coming months and expect another push upwards. Crude oil also took a little bit of a nosedive, trading around $107 per barrel on Friday. That's down from more than $120 a barrel a couple of weeks earlier. This is most likely due to profit-taking. If oil is to make new highs, it is to be expected that corporations and institutions would begin taking profits on their oil long positions. It also may have sold off due to coming recession fears, which typically bring the price of oil down with it. Also, the proposed gas tax rebate has probably scared markets a little bit, despite the actual tax rebate itself probably not doing too much. Last, if we take a look at the price of copper, yes, copper, we see something that is a bit ominous for the broader economy. Copper hit its 16-month low and is down about 20% over the last 3 months. Copper is a highly industrialized metal, meaning it is used in so many things and has typically been used as an indicator for economic activity. So when the price of copper starts to decline, it usually means that economic activity is or will be declining in the near future. If we take a look at manufacturing numbers, growth in economic activity in manufacturing and services hit its lowest level in 5 months. And in Europe, a similar study showed that growth is now at its 16-month low as the continued rising interest rates and slowing economic growth is beginning to weigh on the economy as a whole and in production sectors. Mortgage rates in the United States remained incredibly volatile as the 30-year fixed rate is all the way up to 5.81%. A year ago, the average was about 3%. The last time the average was at today's level was back in 2008, and we know what happened then. And last, expect a volatile day this coming Thursday. This is the day that we will get the update on the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. This is actually the Fed's preferred gauge for tracking inflation. The last report showed that PCE inflation was at an annual rate of 6.3%, while still very close to its highest level in 4 decades. This number will have huge implications in the Fed's upcoming policy meetings. Now, we're going to quickly go over our portfolio and the returns we've seen relative to the broader market. It's going to be a bit quicker this week because, well, this last market rally has dramatically shrinked the gap between our portfolio's performance and the market's performance, mostly because this last week's rally didn't include oil, and that is a huge part of our position. Our sector positions continue to underperform a little bit. However, healthcare, XLV, did see a pretty dramatic rebound. We are now only down 0.7% on this position compared to the market's minus 5.7%. XLE, the energy position, is down 11% since we entered, despite being up almost 15% at one point. I do think we are going to see a sharp energy rebound, so I am not worried at all about this. I'm actually going to be adding to some of these positions at the end of the episode, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. Our precious metals positions have also struggled as gold and silver have underperformed pretty dramatically. We're now only up about 1% on gold and about 0.4% on silver, but again, I'm still very, very confident in these positions for the long term. The dollar has still performed pretty well, and we are up over 1% on our position. Now, it is our agricultural positions that have really dragged things down, but I do think as we continue to see elevated inflation and elevated food prices, these stocks will certainly rebound. Last, I'm actually going to be doubling down on our Chevron position, CVX, that we entered in last week. I'm going to be creating a whole nother position and will be averaging down on the stock. The setup for me still looks pretty incredible, and I see no reason to panic on this last dip. If anything, it provides a fantastic buying opportunity for some of these well-managed companies. However, we are now only beating the market by about 1%, compared to some weeks past where we were beating it by as much as 10%. But I still remain confident, and I think we are going to absolutely demolish the market's returns by the year's end. Now, the reason I am doubling down on oil is because I think there is a current narrative that is not being talked about enough, at least in the Western media, and that is that the Russian sanctions haven't really worked at all. And if anything, they've probably actually strengthened Russia. Let me explain. First and foremost, let me say, most of the time, sanctions tend not to work, and ultimately have a backfiring effect. This is a pretty good example of this. Oil revenues for the month of May crossed $20 billion for Russia, and it is estimated that Russia earned close to 93 billion euros in revenue from exports of oil, gas, and coal in just the first 100 days of the country's invasion of Ukraine. And this is probably an all-time record. As the West seeks to cut off Russia from the rest of the world and has ceased buying Russian oil, the price globally has increased dramatically, as I'm sure all of you are more than aware. So the oil that Russia is exporting to countries that are still accepting it, like China and India, has allowed them to pull in a record revenue. While at the same time, we've seen the United States and many countries in the Eurozone really suffer because of these very elevated prices. In fact, it doesn't seem like it's being talked about enough, but it looks like prices are going to continue to rise. As we head into the summer months where people tend to increase their travel and their consumption of fuel, there is simply not an existing supply to fill the ever-increasing demand of oil. And it could get even worse as we head into the fall and winter months, especially in Europe, as the cost of heating is typically higher due to the colder climates there. We've actually seen countries like Germany start powering up old coal plants again because of the lack of energy. So unless either A, Russia ends its invasion and things go back to normal, or B, the West removes its sanctions from Russia, we are probably going to see highly elevated prices for not just months, but potentially years to come. But I honestly do not think either of the two options are likely to happen at all. And even if Russia did pull out of Ukraine, or even if the West was willing to remove its sanctions, it seems pretty doubtful that at this point, Russia would even be willing to supply the West with oil. Because one, they're probably pretty pissed off at the sanctions that have been imposed on them. And two, they're already pulling in record revenue. There is no point in increasing supply if it would only dampen profits. This is why I still think that American oil companies are going to be forced to increase production despite these supply shocks stretching the supply of oil on the global market even more. I do hope that what I'm saying is not true, and we do see something end the conflict in Ukraine. But being as realistic as possible, I'm only trying to seek out the best places to have my money rather than seek out the best possible scenario. This last dip in oil stocks presents an incredible opportunity to either average down on your oil positions or add to them, With all of that being said, I would highly advise everybody listening to consider donating to a relief fund to support the people suffering from the conflict happening in Ukraine. Even a small donation can significantly impact somebody's life. All right, that's it for this episode. I'll talk to you guys next week.